Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you are having an absolutely spectacular day and you are ready for an even more spectacular weekend. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. We broadcast every day from sunny Southern California. We're getting ready to watch the Rams, Chargers, Raiders, Doyers, maybe even Padres. What is the status of the baseball thing? Ramos, where are we in baseball?
You mean like how many games are left or like who's winning
no,
what?
The standings, like it's one of those things where my bandwidth is one. Last night, you know, previously, the two previous days, I was in a little bit of a dark place. I'm not going to tell you. You come off of the high of the first weekend in the NFL. Like, we had a good Thursday night game. Saturday was incredible college football. Sunday was good. Monday gave us a great game. Then you're like, oh, man, no football for 2 days. What am I going to do? So I'm going to catch up on baseball and figure it out. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have Giants versus Washington football team. And I lost my mind and I lost track of where we were in baseball. Right.
Yeah.
So I think the Yankees lost yesterday. Right.
Yes.
They lost to the Orioles, which is you can't lose to the Orioles in this particular place.
They're currently 9 games out of the lead, but in the wild card, they're half a game out behind Boston and Toronto, who are tied, by the way, for the second wild card spot, or the first and second wild card spots.
And those standings, by the way, are not a fluke. You know, one of the things you should look for in baseball, people always tell you, is run differential. The three teams with the best run differential in the American League are the Astros, the Rays, and the Blue Jays. Above that of the White Sox, who are far and away in first place, going to win the division in the Central. But interesting. Okay, so what about your Dodgers now? Okay, the Dodgers have won, what, 6 in a row?
That's correct.
And the Giants lost again yesterday, so they're, I think, 1 game back.
That is correct. They're 1 game back, and they're definitely in charge of the wild card spot. Both the Giants and the Dodgers are going to be a wild card team if they lose the division. So that's
right,
a given,
but
yeah.
The problem with it is that you could run upon a team, either the Cardinals or the Padres, and the Padres can throw Blake Snell out there.
He's injured right now.
I'm giving you a for instance.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate that. But, you know, you can throw a pitcher out there and get, you know, and all it takes is one, you know, and Fernando Tatis, I think he hit his 39th yesterday, right?
In San Francisco, yeah.
But he hadn't played. What's he played? How many games he played this year? I don't think he's played 100 games this year.
He's been injured off and on at least 4 times,
right.
I believe.
And he still he's going to have 45 or so home runs. Like, it's crazy. So the point is that with the small sample size, you don't want to be in the wild card, especially these teams are going to win 100 games.
Well, it's interesting because the Padres have looked like the Padres of midseason the last 2 games against the Giants. They actually hit the ball well, great defense, you know, so you don't want to catch them getting hot again, most definitely.
Okay, so you got what? Musgrove, Yu Darvish. I mean, that's really their pitching is slim, but you still don't want to run upon a team with the firepower that the Padres have in a 1-game scenario if you're the Dodgers. You've got to win this division. And it's just crazy that both teams are gonna win well over 100 games and be in that position.
And whoever does win that wild card game, and I know this is an outlier, it's not a rule change thing, but whoever wins that wild card game has to play the best team in baseball. So your reward, if you're the Dodgers, is playing the Giants in the division series. So the two best teams in baseball will play each other in the division series.
It's a bad rule.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's reasonable. I understand that it's the way you know schedules aren't even, and so the NL West, and you run out to these records, and the thought is that some years teams have these dominant records not because they're so much better than everybody else, but because of the schedule that they actually play against and the teams they play against the most often, this is a case where that's not it. The Giants and the Padres, the Giants and the Dodgers are far and away the two best teams in the NL, and it's not close. Like, I don't know. You can't change the rule now, but in the future, shouldn't you just seed it based upon final record?
Reshuffle. Like, once there is a Final Four, reshuffle according to record. That would seem to be the logical choice.
Isaac, what do you think about that? What do you think of the reshuffling?
That's exactly why it will never happen, Doug, because it makes too much sense. I hate to say it, but that's the state of modern baseball.
That's crazy. That is that's crazy that they wouldn't. I mean, granted, some years it's really, really close. I don't know what the other, like, what is the other possible scenario which you could fix it with? Like, let's just be honest, they shouldn't be playing in the wild card. You got a team that's going to win 95 games and another team that's going to win 105 games, and they're going to play in the wild card when you have other teams that are going to win 80?
I think the ship has sailed by having the whole second wild card thing. I mean, think of all the great Yankees-Red Sox ALCS battles of the early 2000s that at that time captured the attention of America. It'd be a little different if it was in an earlier round, like the Dodgers and Giants potentially this year.
No, but my point is, like, even having these teams playing, like, we're all saying shuffle the deck when they get to four. What about when they're in the wild card game, like, and you have one team that has won more than all the other division winners?
I guess the theory would be that the two wild card teams are supposed to be, like, not as good as the division winner, and therefore they but because this year's a little odd and the Dodgers have such a great record, or the Giants will, they're kind of, the reshuffling makes more sense, but in general, right, it should be two teams that are, like, not close to winning the division. Therefore, they're happy to get into the wild card and make the playoffs and therefore play a better team in the first round. But this year is not one of those years, at least in the National League.
No, not close to one of those years. Yeah. So it's a weird one.
Is Gigi a reward for having the best record in your entire, not league, but baseball? The Giants have the best record in baseball, and their reward's going to be playing the team with the second best record. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, and obviously the Giants are a surprise. The Dodgers are not for being here. The Padres, it's surprising, but as you pointed out, John, we've covered it. Injuries have played so much of a factor. Let me quickly give you my thoughts on Thursday Night Football. It was a great game. I did nail that the Giants would come close, and of course they had lost. I think what's most interesting is something that everyone was critical of last night. If you watch the replay, you're like, hey, I don't know if Dexter Lawrence was offsides. Lawrence Tynes, of course, a former kicker for the Giants, just confirmed with a Giants source that Dexter Lawrence was not offsides on the coach's film. The referees missed it, and the Giants will get the obligatory phone call from the head official saying, sorry, we missed it. Like, that's crazy. Here's Joe Judge last night, smartly not throwing Dexter Lawrence under the bus.
I'm not going to put this on Dex. And I don't want to put this on Dex. Okay, Dex is a good player. He's a strong piece of our locker room. He's a good teammate. He's fun to coach. He's productive for us as a player. I'm not going to put this on Dexter Lawrence. Okay, there's things we all have to do better as professionals. All right, but I'm not going to put this on any one player or one situation.
You can win even when you lose. I thought Joe Judge won even if he lost last night. His quarterback looked good, the offensive line, and they suffered another just terrible injury. Nick Gates broke his leg. It looked like a compound fracture. Nick Gates gets hurt, and he's like everybody's favorite Giant offensive lineman, a kid out of Nebraska who just made the team and will play anywhere. So you lose the starting offensive lineman, and your quarterback plays one of the better games of his career. You know, you dropped a touchdown pass late. That obviously would have kind of sealed the deal. But I think you can win even when you lose in that, you know, Joe Judge has been a guy who Twitter and some make fun of making guys run laps or whatever. What he said, having Dexter Lawrence's back, and then now it playing out where when you watch it, he actually wasn't offsides. Like, dude, he doesn't have to dial back an apology. He had his guys back. It's a huge win for a coach, especially one who's trying to get a foothold and continue to gain the respect of all the men in the locker room. Check out the latest line from the world of sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Other side, Taylor Heinicke, now you know why Cam Newton doesn't have a job. Because they needed a quarterback, and they believe that Taylor Heinicke gave them a better chance to win, and Ron Rivera was right. Here's Taylor Heinicke on getting his first NFL win.
First start was, what, 2 or 3 years ago in Carolina? Threw 3 picks, tore my tricep. It was just a brutal thing, and that was my last start until last year, Tampa. Come in Tampa last year, had a good game, but ultimately fell up short. And then finally get that first win. So it's nice to get that weight off your shoulders, and hopefully we can keep the ball rolling.
This is Ron Rivera on how Taylor Heinicke bounced back from that. He threw a bad pick late in the game.
The thing that was real impressive about him was the way he bounced back after the turnover. You know, prior to that, you know, he went down in 3 plays and scored a touchdown, and then we turned around and we were trying to kill the clock. He made a bad read, made a bad decision. He should have put the ball in the back's hands, going to the flat instead of trying to throw the curl. And, James Bradbury made a heck of a play. And but getting that opportunity, he stepped up again.
It was another standalone super. We haven't had any stinkers in standalone games. Well, let's hope that continues. I'll give you my top 5 picks in the weekend for college and the NFL. I'll come next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every Friday we get to this. Last week I was 4-1 in college, 3-2 in the pros. 5 picks college, 5 picks pros. Let's get to it.
We got them.
Touchdown!
5 NFL. 5 college.
5 on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Five. It's 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Let's go, 5.
5 for 5 is brought to you by NHTSA. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. If signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't paid for by NHTSA. Shall we start in college? Sure. The Irish of Notre Dame, they continue to struggle to put people away and look dominant. It doesn't mean that they didn't win against Florida State. Didn't mean they didn't win against Toledo, but they did not dust them off. And you got Purdue who comes in. Okay, remember, Purdue started week 1 throttling Oregon State. Purdue, who is currently undefeated, and I'm intrigued by this game. The line is 8 points, right? 8 points. And I don't know if you remember this, like there's a historic thing to it. Brian Kelly's first ever win as Notre Dame head coach was actually against Purdue, right? Purdue. So in-state matchup, look, Bronze team has played Notre Dame close, plays better every time they're a big dog. I'm going to take Purdue, lay those points, and live to see it another day. So I'm going to take Purdue as a road dog, 8 points. And then I'm going to take Auburn. I'm not a huge Bo Nix guy, but he's tough as hell. He can run, and he's experienced as a quarterback, as a guy who started as a true freshman. Auburn going into Penn State. We're reacting to Penn State with a great fourth quarter against Wisconsin, but their offense was so putrid before that. I like Purdue. I like Auburn. I like Fresno State, who's a road dog, 11 points against UCLA. And, of course, UCLA had 2 wins over Hawaii and 1 over LSU. Fresno's a team that they did a great job against Oregon 2 weeks ago up at Autzen Stadium. So, big number for Fresno, smaller number for Auburn and Purdue in the middle. Purdue, Auburn, Fresno, all road dogs, big numbers. Let's lay the points and let's have some fun with it. Okay, home favorites. Let's start with Texas A&M. The Aggies survived last week against Colorado. Great football game, low scoring. They had to change quarterbacks. They will completely out-town and out-match New Mexico, who's 2-0 playing against Rummies. Texas A&M is one of the elite talented teams in college football this year. This will not be close. I know it's a big number considering how few points they scored last week. Doesn't matter. New Mexico is not a Power 5 school for a reason. Take Texas A&M. The other one is Boise State taking on my alma mater of Oklahoma State. Spencer Sanders unable to really get it going. They can't run the ball. Their play calling's a little bit stale with a new play caller. I know Boise lost for week one to Central Florida, but that was after a delay and a big storm. I like this Boise team. I think Boise wins the game by more than a field goal. Give me Boise State. So the home favorites, Boise State and A&M, road dogs, Purdue, Auburn, Fresno. Let's get to the NFL. This one's kind of interesting, right? I look at this game and I was like, whew, whew, what a fascinating spread. The Rams are taking on the Colts. Colts could not have looked worse last week. Rams could not have looked better last week. And I know week one to week two, but indoors with the speed the Rams have, it started three, now it's at 3.5. 97% of the money is on the Rams. I feel like this line is off. I know that smart money is going to come in late on Indy. I'm not that smart of money. I'm taking the Rams. This game I like a great deal. Fascinating here to look at this Chargers-Cowboys. And if you heard from Isaac Lowenkron, you'd know that now the Chargers don't have Brian Bulaga. They have had some injuries, but so too to the Dallas Cowboys. Chargers are 3.5-point favorites. To me, this game is all about the over-under. I think both teams can really score. I'm going to take the over in Cowboys-Chargers. It's at 55 points. It started at 50. That would have been great. Now it's at 55. Still like the over. Cowboys, to beat anybody, have to score. They're not stopping anybody. Chargers can score as well. Give me the over in Chargers-Cowboys. Kansas City's taking on Baltimore. Kansas City is 3-0 against Baltimore. Plus, Ronnie Stanley's hurt. Plus, it's a bad matchup and a short week for Baltimore. I love Kansas City. I know, road favorites, but they've hammered Baltimore every time they've played them. 2 years ago, it was kind of late. Some miracle passes made it look a lot closer than it was. I will gladly take the road favorites in the Kansas City Chiefs. Home dog alert. New Orleans could not have played any better last week in Jacksonville against the Packers. They're 3-point favorites, a game that opened as a pick 'em. I think Carolina's better than people think. I think Sam Darnold makes plays more than anything. Again, week-to-week league. Give me Carolina. I'm going to get 3 points playing at home. If I get 3.5, now I'm super, super happy. I will take the Carolina Panthers getting 3 points playing at home. The Raiders take on the Steelers of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 6-point favorite. No Josh Jacobs. That means no running game. Also a short week. And Pittsburgh appears to be really, really good. I'm going to take the Steelers. I'm not a buyer into Darren Waller as the greatest player that he's ever coached. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, one last bonus pick. Philly looked great against Atlanta, week-to-week league. San Francisco was blowing out Detroit. San Francisco, real deal. Philadelphia looked great week one. I don't believe it week two. I'm going to take San Francisco. That line has moved from 4 to 3, so a lot of money. 64% of the money is on Philadelphia. So again, to review, you're going to take Philly. You're going to take Chargers and Cowboys over. Excuse me, you're not Philly. I'm sorry. You're going to take San Francisco playing at Philly. You're going to take the over in the Chargers and Cowboys. You're going to take Kansas City on the road, Carolina at home, and the Rams on the road. Those are the picks.
5 on 3, 1, 2, 3.
There it is. 5 NFL.
Let's go, 5.
5 college. 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's get you to Jeff Schwartz. Of course, you can hear on Fox Sports Radio. You can see at foxsports.com, breaking down games with his spoon. What do you think of Daniel Jones watching last night?
He looked good, but he's looked good against Washington now in his career, right? If he'd won that game, he would have had 9 career wins in 28 starts, and 5 would have been against Washington. So there's something about playing Washington that he is good at, and he looked good last night. He ran the ball well. He threw the ball pretty well, I thought, and that's what they expect, I think, from him every week. And that being said, they still lost the game, right? So you got the best performance you're probably going to get from Daniel Jones from an efficiency standpoint, from being accurate, from running the football, and you still lost.
What do you make of Dexter Lawrence? I don't know if you've seen the coach's tape, but it appears that he timed it perfectly. He wasn't offsides.
Yeah, I haven't seen the coach's tape of it, but I will say, though, if you – so the head of the defender on those plays is going to be right on the ball, right?
Right, right.
And so if he jumped it all before the snap, even if it was just I move my head forward, the guy down the line of scrimmage is going to flag him for that. It's not like when they're – you know, when we're third and eight and the defender just moves a little bit and they're kind of behind the ball, right? His head is, like, right over his hands. And if he moves forward a tiny bit, they're going to call that. I mean, I haven't seen the coach's tape of it yet. I mean, I don't know if that's out yet. I've seen people slow down the play and zoom in on it from a TV copy. But if you move it all like that, they're going to call you. I mean, it's just kind of what they're looking for. And he did. He moved just enough before the snap. And again, he's not blocking the kick, right? Like where he's lined up, I'm not sure any player at that position has blocked a kick since they got rid of the push rules, which is 12 years ago now, something like that. I mean, it feels like forever ago. So I just don't think that was a smart play by him. He had no reason to even go early at all.
Jeff Schwartz is our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, let's go around the league a little bit. Obviously, as a former offensive lineman, you watch these things. The Chargers now have an injury to Brian Bulaga, but they blocked that same Washington football team. Have they fixed their offensive line?
I think they have in a big way. Rashawn Slater was fabulous against Chase Young, and then Betsy Young moved the other side and is really good against Montez. So obviously, Bulaga being hurt is not great, but he's been hurt over the last couple years of his career, and so they're not prepared for it, but you know they have to expect that was going to be part of what might happen at some point. And they look like a confident offense. They won a game last weekend that I think not many are talking about, but this is a game that they have lost so many times over the years. Right? They're on the road, 10 a.m. Pacific kickoff. They're playing a good you know, disciplined team, and you know they had a weird play, right? That Herbert fumble out the end zone. I still don't think that was the right call, but nonetheless, right? You have a weird Herbert fumble. I think he had a separate running back fumble in a bad spot as well. And they just went on a six-minute drive to win the game. Like, it feels like a completely different team now with a new coaching staff. That was a really big win for a team, by the way, that didn't play their starters at all in the preseason. So they came out pretty hot, and it was good to see if you're a Chargers fan.
Okay, let's look at the Baltimore Ravens. Defense... Ooh. Defense couldn't get there without blitzing, so they were in like zero blitz half the game. And the offense, now they don't have Ronnie Stanley again this week. Are the Ravens going to come back to earth a little bit this year?
It feels like they're kind of just not their year, right? A lot of injuries, and injuries at key positions, right? At cornerback, at offensive line now, right? They're without a guard. They're without Ronnie Stanley. Villanueva didn't look really good at right tackle last week. You know, obviously running back injuries, and it doesn't feel like it's their year. And defensively, so you know they run the zero pressure, they run a lot of man coverage. It's just what Wink Martindale does. And a lot of coaches aren't very flexible. They run what they run because they trust that their scheme and the guys they have in their scheme are just going to win. And no matter against all odds, they're going to do that. Now, for the Ravens, for so many years, they had great pass rushers. They didn't have to bring as much pressure to get home, but they don't have those guys anymore. And so they're having to generate pressure by bringing extra defenders, and then you leave guys in man coverage. And when you don't have a guy like Peters there, it's one less corner who's good in man coverage, and then you get, you know, you end up getting beat. And it's hard for coaches to adapt sometimes to personnel issues. And, you know, you constructed your team based off of the idea that you were going to bring a lot of pressure, and it's hard to just change in week one when there's injuries. And this weekend's a big look. Mahomes has averaged 370 yards passing in the three games against Baltimore. I mean, good luck this weekend against Kansas City. Your only hope, I think, is Chiefs young offensive line, first road game, they've all played together, and you do have complicated blitz, blitz schemes. And so I mean, a little bit of the concern I saw in the Chiefs last week offensively was a little bit of misidentification on where they're going in pass protection, whether that's on Mahomes or Creed Humphrey. Mahomes at the end is the one who's dictating all of that. So that's, if the Ravens are hoping to get after Pat Mahomes, it's that they confuse the offensive line. If the offensive line knows who they're going to and they bring pressure, he's going to throw for 400 yards again.
Why were the Packers so bad?
They had a stinker in the heat last year. If you remember Tampa Bay, right? They just played really bad early in the season in Tampa. I'm going to chalk this up to just having a stinker, right? The offensive line wasn't right. They've had some injuries up front, and they just came out flat. And it's interesting. You look at about half the teams that did not play all in the preseason came out really flat, and the other half came out fast. And I don't think there's any much to take from that. But, I just think they just had a bad game and just couldn't get out of the spiral. It's hard to make a sweeping judgment. Like, I'm not going to say that the entire offseason was a huge distraction. It might have been. But they've had this before. It's not the first time Aaron Rodgers has been upset in the offseason. They get a pretty poor line team on Monday night. I think they'll bounce back in a big way. I'm not sure there's much to take away from the Packers side. For the Saints, I mean, it's a good start. I mean, good team win. Jameis is chucking the ball downfield defensively. Unfortunately, had a few injuries from that game. But they look really solid. And I think a lot of us were questioning what they would look like without Drew Brees.
What were your thoughts on the Rams and how they look with Matt Stafford?
It looked really good. They looked efficient. Obviously, the ability to throw the ball deep adds a little bit of an element that Jared Goff did not have. People are really high on the Rams. I came late to the Rams this year. I was one that wasn't quite sure how Stafford would be in this offense. And enough people kept telling me, like, look, they win a lot of games. And they're right. Under with Goff, they've won, I think it was 9. They won 10 twice and 13 one year. You've upgraded the quarterback, which will be good. Your defense is not going to be as good as it was last year. That's impossible. And after actually 1 week, they have the worst rushing defense efficiency in football. It's 1 week, obviously. So, defensively, they're not going to be as good. But look, if Stafford can hit those home run plays and make some of those plays happen that Goff couldn't do, they're going to be – I like them to go in Indy this weekend and win that game and cover. I'm kind of miffed at people that are high on Indy. Like, what is – again, you're high on a team that has a bad quarterback. I don't – most people would be off Indianapolis, but there's some belief that Carson Wentz is going to turn into some quarterback that he really hasn't been for 4 years now. The belief in Carson Wentz is so surprising because we kill quarterbacks who have been a lot worse than Carson Wentz. And for some reason, people are still so high on that guy. I don't know what we saw in week one that would make you think – anything's different than what his career has been the last 3 years.
I think it's that it's the idea that when he was with the coach, he was better. That's really what it is. It's that he's better in that system with that coach. That's the only possible.
Doug Peterson gets no credit. Like, we give Andy Reid credit for the offense in Kansas City, and then but Doug Peterson gets no credit for the offense in Philly. Like, he's just a bystander to that offense. He's the one calling plays.
No. I mean, like, look, they lost the whole crew outside of Peterson, and it was never the same once, correct? I mean, that is fair, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can also make the argument that, that Wentz, really, that 2017 year was just an outlier year of his career. I mean, maybe you could chalk that up to Frank Reich, but leave him. But I don't know how you get, like, demonstrably worse with third down percentage because your quarterback leaves. I mean, that's just – he just was really good in 2017, and he hasn't shown otherwise. And I know we like reclamation projects and we like guys that kind of come back, but there's just not a lot of evidence that that's going to happen this year.
Do you think Jameis is back?
I don't know if Jameis ever left. I mean, I feel like he obviously got a bad rap at 30 interception season, but I don't think he's that bad of a quarterback. That was obviously – that was 12 interceptions more ever thrown in his career in a season, and I don't know if he's back, but I think he's going to be okay in this offense. Is he good enough to win a bunch of playoff games? I don't know, but I'm excited to watch him play. I mean, he's obviously with an offensive mind now that kind of fits him a little bit better than maybe Bruce Arians did. He's older. He's more mature. He had to sit out a year as a backup quarterback, and that humbles a lot of players at times. And, the LASIK surgery thing is pretty funny because I really do think that's a part of his play. Like, he couldn't see linebackers. Like, in cover three, man, these guys would drop in the coverage. He just wouldn't see them at all. And And now all of a sudden he got his LASIK. He got, can see better. I wonder if that really is a difference maker for him this season.
I think that part is fascinating to me with the LASIK. And if it does change, remember he used to squint when he was looking. They called him Squints. That was his nickname. Sam Darnold, team he used to play for, did have one bad fumble, was against the Jets. So who knows? What do you take from his first performance?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't spend much time watching Panthers Jets. I caught some of it. They made 19 points, which against the Jets team, I would consider a kind of a good showing. But again, like I want to give him benefit of the doubt because Adam Gase, has kind of ruined other careers as well. I think he does deserve to get a couple of months to figure it out. But we just don't see a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, Josh Allen is like the outlier. Like Alex Smith are outliers of guys that just really weren't good for a couple of years, especially their first two full seasons starting, and then become good again. Like it's really hard to see in the NFL that happening. And I think Darnold's in that same boat where he could be okay, he could be good, but he's not the future of that franchise. I would have drafted Justin Fields and just gone on with it. I mean, I don't know what the Panthers were trying to do there. I mean, Darnold again, like. It's just I don't think he's going to be as good as people want him to be. And I was high on him. I liked him at a USC. I thought he'd be good in the NFL. And I think the best you'll get from him is average.
Awesome stuff, Schwartzy. We appreciate you joining us. Look forward to hearing you on the weekend. By the way, did you hear Mario Cristobal and his response to my question?
Yeah, man. We played that audio multiple times on my Pac-12 show. I appreciate you getting him to be very upset with you. But you have to ask the question. I mean, we asked the question of one of their players on our show. And I mean, like that's, he's not taking that job, by the way. There's no reason why he should go to USC, but I mean, he's going to be asked about it. I mean, you have 4 months of speculation. I'm every single coach that ever coached.
So why not? Here's an honest question. Why not just go like, nah, I don't know. I'm good. I'm at Oregon. We can win a national championship here. I'm good. Why not?
It's a good question. I think that you always want to leave yourself that window, I think. Right. Because, what if things go weird this year? And what if USC is like, well, if you get $12 million, you make like $4.5 million now or something. I mean, I think you always just leave that open a tiny bit, and you never just say no. I mean, look, Urban Meyer said, no chance. I mean, every coach who says that ends up getting a new job. So I'm okay with his answer. He said he's focused on this week. We have Stony Brook, big game against the Seawolves in Eugene this weekend, and he's not going anywhere. I mean, Oregon has a playoff team now. He's not going to USC.
So if you're not going anywhere, why not just say I'm not going anywhere?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know why he didn't say that. But I'm not concerned about his reply to anyone asking him that question right now. Because everyone's going to ask him. They're going to ask him Saturday after the Stony Brook game. Of course they're going to ask him.
Yeah, I think you ask once, you let him respond, and then you move on, and you wait until later on in the year or whatever. But and I would actually, I don't think you, I, how did you ask the question of his, one of his players?
I think we basically asked him like, hey, there's rumors of Mario Cristobal going to USC. Like, what do you think essentially? And it's, his player was like, coaches hasn't talked to us about it. We're folks from Stony Brook and I don't see him going anywhere. It was like an answer like that.
Yeah. I think if, again, this is me, I would say, the way to ask is like, does that affect you guys in any way? Because you can't speak to, but it's a hard one. I don't know if you have to ask the players. I do think you have to ask the coach. Schwartzy, great stuff, dude. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, bud. Take care.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Here's Ilo with press.
The press.
Isaac Lowenkron, what do you have, sir?
Doug, earlier we told you that the Minnesota Vikings ruled out defensive end Everson Griffin for Sunday's game against the Arizona Cardinals. He sustained a concussion in a car accident yesterday on his way to practice when he swerved to miss a deer in the road. Well, we actually just have a couple of new details on the car accident that just came down, courtesy of the Minnetrista, Minnesota Public Safety Department. I'd never heard of Minnetrista before, but apparently it's a very small town that's a suburb west of Minneapolis.
There's Minnetrista, then there's Minnetrista. There's also Maxitrista. That's more on the other side of town.
Okay.
It was a joke. These are jokes. Oh. Minnetrista. Anyway,
I was going to say that Minnetrista sounds like a soft drink, but it's actually a small town. So you could
have some Minnetrista with some. Oh, by the way, I have some new marinara sauce with truffle in it. Oh, it's so good. But I had some Minnetrista with some truffle. Oh, it was amazing. Anyway, go ahead.
I've never quite gotten truffles
what?
Or caviar. What's the deal with truffles? Except that they cost $90,000 for like 0.1 ounces.
They're amazing.
Amazing how? Like compare it to
something.
They
taste amazing. It tastes like if garlic had a baby and the baby was perfect.
That's a really good description. That's very creative. Maybe if you didn't spend so much money on truffles, you wouldn't need a discount to get an acai bowl at your daughter's store.
It's fair enough. It's a fair point.
All right, where were we?
Minnetrista is a suburb due west of Minneapolis.
All right. Well, your knowledge of small towns on the outskirts of Minnesota continues to dazzle the land of 10,000 lakes right off of Lake Minnetonka. So, first of all, this accident happened at 6:30 in the morning on Thursday, and the Minnetrista Public Safety Department said that the vehicle, after it swerved to avoid the deer, actually left the road and crashed into a tree, sustaining front end and side damage. So a really close call. Again, Griffin sustaining a concussion, causing him to miss the game against Arizona. But by the circumstances, sounds like it could have been a lot worse.
Thankfully, he's okay.
And thankfully, you were able to broaden our horizons about Minneapolis area suburbs. And we're going to revisit this because I thought it was quite a stimulating discussion earlier. Okay. And I have no idea how this even came up earlier today during Bill Belichick's Friday press conference. But Bill Belichick had some words about the value of social media in today's society. Again, don't know the context, but you know, it doesn't really matter.
First of all, you know, I don't really know or care anything about social media. I don't even know what's out there or isn't out there. So that's irrelevant to me. But it doesn't matter. We played football before there was social media and didn't matter then either. So but I think anytime you have a team that we all, you know, rely on each other, we're all accountable to each other, and we all support each other, and we all make mistakes.
Bill Belichick, who hates social media and likely has a flip phone.
yeah, but it was still a good, honest response, right?
I agree.
You know, like,
okay. Yeah.
Look, I'm not I like social media. I use it, but I also understand not everybody does.
That is none other than
words to live by. And finally, good to hear about this. The New Orleans Saints have a plan to return home, back to New Orleans, obviously forced away from their home because of Hurricane Ida and the aftermath. Sean Payton saying today that the plan is for them to return immediately after they play their game in Week 3 on the road at New England. So that would put them back Monday, September 27th. For the time being, they'll still be practicing in the Metroplex area. But good news, they have a destination date to go back home finally.
That's good stuff, right? It's important to finally get a call home. Obviously, last week it didn't affect them at all. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
Ramos, sports weekend?
Yes, a lot of local Little League stuff for me this weekend, so yeah.
Yeah, we got hoops and football this weekend. I'll obviously be on social media. Check out my picks. We'll be back Monday. And get you ready for Monday Night Football as well as everything that's taken place over the weekend. Have a safe and happy weekend. We'll check in with you Monday, the Doug Gottlieb Show, here on Fox Sports Radio.